Today's passage comes from Acts chapter 13, 1 to 5. Now, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. How's everybody? Okay. So this morning we're going to look at the church of Antioch, Church Antioch. Antioch is a very special church. It's almost a model church that disciples of Jesus were called Christians, started from that church. So it must be a model church that God greatly used, and the members there must be making good witnesses so that people will call them Christians, the follower of Christ. When I prepare this sermon and look at the Church of Antioch from Church 13, actually started from chapter 11, I see some shadows of ECAC there, and I will describe. But there are some lessons we have to learn from this church, and there are some major shortcomings, I would say, that our church we really need to follow the Church of Antioch. The Church of Antioch was formed when Christians or followers of Christ were persecuted. I think last time I spoke on the death of Stephen. He was martyred for his faith. And after that, and followers of Christ were being persecuted. So they ran everywhere, dispersed, ran for their life. And then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. Antioch is a city about 500 miles north of Jerusalem. And they find a safe place there, and then they start a church, and it's a church of Antioch. And I think I put it down here. And a large number, chapter 11, this form, were believed. Large number who believe turn to the Lord, even though they were persecuted. And this is from the history of at the church. We notice that when there is persecution, and actually church grows, like in China during the Great Suppression time, Cultural Revolution, actually the Christian community grew. Same as in the first century, when they were persecuted, they actually grew in numbers. And sadly, sometimes the opposite is also true. When the church is safe, prosperous, quote-unquote, comfortable, and then the church declined. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And this is a church, this is a place, the city of Antioch, at that time had about 50,000 people. Well, today's standard is not a lot, but it is the third largest city in Rome. And it is a big city, kind of a little bit like Vancouver. It is a major trading location. And Christians gather there, and then they start a new ministry. The Church of Antioch is being described in the church of history as a pivotal center for the spread of Christianity, because Paul and Barnabas, we later learn, were sent out. I'm not sure if they're the first missionaries, but in the Bible, Paul started his first mission trip from Antioch. And chapter 13 of Acts, we call that the first sending of the Apostle Paul. And our church, VCAC, Ninth Street Church, is, well, you all know that we are the first Chinese Alliance Church in Western Canada. We actually started in the basement of the 10th Alliance Church. Some of you may remember. I haven't joined the Ninth Street Church yet. So as we grew bigger, then we purchased this property, plot by plot. We did not buy the whole land all at once. We bought one house at a time, and we built this church. So I sort of see some similarities. And it is a church of immigrants, UCAC, that Hong Kong is basically a city of immigrants. They came from mostly mainland China as refugees, and then they later on moved over to Canada. So our church here is to serve all these people, mainly at that time, Chinese from Hong Kong, as they scatter outside the colony. So I see some similarity there. And the Church of Antioch, in Acts 13, we just read 1 verse 1, specifically mentioned the name of five leaders. These are the leaders. And in the church there, that was their prophets and teachers. Barnabas is obviously chairman of the board at that time, it might be. He's a leader, so his name was mentioned first. And I think I got it down here in the previous chapters, chapter 11. I guess I didn't put down here. I got down here that and Barnabas is a good person, he says. 11:24, he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. So Barnabas is a spirit empowered, filled leader. So today, our alliance, we emphasize our three main goals, that the church would be a Christ center, spirit and power, mission focus. And Barnabas is a man full of spirit. And then there is also Simeon, who was called Niger, and he is probably of an African descent. We are not sure. And then there's Lucius of Cyrene, which is probably from today's Libya. And then there is someone who's related to the royal family from the herald, and then there's Saul. So we can notice that this first church that's formed outside Jerusalem consists of people from different backgrounds, cultures. And kind of like our church today, even though we are mostly Chinese, but actually even from the English congregation here, we have people from different countries, Philippines, from yes, Vietnam, Korea. But we hope that through this English congregation, we can reach to more nations. I think God has a purpose for us, for our church. I will speak on more later on. But even in our other congregation, they're Chinese speaking, but the Mandarin is actually have many different cultural groups. As you know, China has 52 or 54 different minority cultural groups. And just because it's called Mandarin congregation, actually they came from many diverse backgrounds, and sometimes they speak Mandarin that I couldn't even understand because of their accents. And so our church is really diversified, kind of like the Church of Antioch. And then I noticed that when I read, I think I'm 13:2 here. It is a church that is, I think I missed this, I think I got the scripture wrong, it's actually 13. And in the proportion that any of the disciples had means, each of them determined to send a contribution of the relief of the brethren living in Judea. And this is the church that gives. Not only that they provide, they contribute, they give to what they need at the church of Antioch, they also send money to support the church in Jerusalem. Because the church of Jerusalem, even though it's quote unquote a mother church, but then is suffering financial difficulties because there's internal conflicts within the church. They were arguing about whether the Christians have to have circumcisions, follow the Old Testament laws. So they were arguing that the church is not a united church. They are not united together, so they have financial problems. So this newly formed church actually had to send money back to support them. So the Church of Antioch is a generous church. Not only that they all give to support their own needs, they also send money outside the church. So I think that we say, see, Night Street is like that. So each year our mission budget is, as you all know, is 200,000, which is more than 10% of our revenue each year. I am kind of quote unquote proud of our members that we not only look at our needs. I mean, we could spend money to renovate this, buy this, and we will continue to do that, but we are not being just ourselves. We send more than 10% of our revenue to the head office. And all of this $200,000 each year we collect or send out to support the overseas missionaries. Now we call international workers. So when I look at church, and also I know that why this church is blessedly blessed, because it's a church that not only care about themselves. But money is not the most important thing, but it's really important. It sometimes reflects the church culture. And I am really happy that our church started from Pastor Charles' time. We always focus on mission. We send a great portion of our offerings to support overseas missions. So a church that willing to care about God's ministry outside the four walls is a church that God will always bless. But it is a church, there's something I think here is an area we have to really learn from the Church of Antioch. It is a church that prayed. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then when they have fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. It is a church that pray together. Not only personal prayer, but they pray as a community, corporate prayer. This is one area I see our church needs to learn from the Church of Antioch. I share this in the other congregations as well. There are a lot of things we have done right. I think the Lord is really pleased with us. But really, when it comes to praying together as a body of Christ, we still have a long way to go. The Church of Antioch, they pray, and they are guided by the Holy Spirit. It's a Spirit-empowered church. I really like the focus of our Alliance family, not just our church, but all the Alliance churches in Canada. That we are Christ-centered. We are here, we have to preach Christ, not ourselves. Preach Jesus. There's always the focus of our church, our message, our teaching. But we have to be empowered by the Spirit. And Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the Spirit. Today we need the Holy Spirit to empower us, to guide us, to direct us, to send us out. Prayer Prayer does not enable us to do a great work for God. Prayer is a greater work of God. Every Wednesday, we have Canton is a prayer meeting every Wednesday night. English, we have once a month. Very often when we pray, I have to admit that we are also guilty. We list our whole bunch of things that we want God to bless us this, that, right? But just praying itself is already a greater work for God before we even ask God to help us with this, provide us that. Our founder, Pastor Chow, he was a man of prayer. I'm reading his biography again. Recently, when I prepared this sermon, you should try and find a copy of this by Pastor Chow, Heart and Soul. If I say that he's not a theologian, I don't think he will argue back. But he is a man of prayer. And that's what I wish I can learn more from him in prayers. It is the praying that unites this church of Antioch together, that they send out missionaries. And they were not formed that long ago, right? Probably within a few years. It's a fairly new church. But they're already sending out their best leaders in their church, Barnabas, the chairman of the board, or their senior pastor. They send out the best leaders in the church, and Paul probably, we all know, probably the best evangelist. The church sent out the best two from their board to do mission. And we will call this as the first mission trip of Paul in Acts 13. It started with prayers. And some of us, if we have gone through the Kairos course, we heard of the Haystack prayer meeting. And we all refer it to as the a significant event in the history of the American mission work. And in 1806, five young men, these are really young students at this college, and they joined together to have a planning meeting. They want to plan to how to bring the gospel to Asia. It's a group of five students at the Williams College in Massachusetts. And then in that day, but they did not have much time to plan because then the rain started. What is this? Not a real person. It's just a copy from a video. And then they have nowhere to go, and then they just hide there, and then they spend time to pray. So instead of to plan, they pray. And then out of their prayer meeting, and then a mission committee was formed, and then from that committee, it started the earliest missionaries sent by this group of people. And they start in 1812, they started the first missionary to Burma, nowadays the Myanmar. 1813, this group organization start sending missionaries to India. 1820 to Syria, Palestine. 1820 to Hawaii, Pacific Islands, to China. And they all, this becomes one of the most major a powerful missionary work when we look back. And it all started with five young people. They actually put a monument there today to commemorate these five young people. One thing I noticed that these are all really young people, young students. They are in their first year. They are not church leaders, elders, pastors, just five young students. And in a no man land, it's not in a big church. It's just in a haystack. Nobody even noticed them. But God used these young people and started missionary works. And later on, in the history of the missionary work that they have formed, they have sent out 5,000 missionaries to 34 countries by 1961. Our ministry, our mission work, our evangelism has to start with prayers. our church needs prayers. One time I met a mom from China, from Wenchao, and she came here to visit her daughter studying here. She's a very devout Christian. Wenchao, if you know, is called the Jerusalem of China. It's where a huge majority of the people in that province is Christians. So I asked that mom, how's your church? I said, we are a what they call a house church. That means it's not registered. And we have about 2,000 people. I said, wow, this is a big house church. You must have had a big house. I said, I'm not that good now. I only go to prayer meeting twice a week. I said, that's really good, twice a week. Is that the time? Doesn't suit me very well. I said, wow, so what time is your prayer meeting? She said, at 6 o'clock. Kind of a bit awkward, 6 o'clock. You're probably still working. You know, the 6 o'clock in the morning. So, oh, okay. So I didn't even tell her what time is our prayer meeting, 7:30 at night. So when we pray, God will work. So we need to learn from the church of Antioch. They need more prayers. But when we look at the church of Antioch, they gather together, and so that they can be sent out. They're not there to build a mega church. Paul and Barnabas can probably build a mega church of that day with their giftedness. But it didn't take them very long. They start sending out their best leaders, Barnabas, Paul, to send out to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. This is the beginning of mission work and bringing the gospel to other people groups. And when I think of our church, we are a little bit like that. we founded this church. I forgot the exact year, but we are year number 658. I guess you can count that. And then when I read Pastor Charles' biography, there's actually a Chinese copy at the foyer that you can borrow. And then not long when we built this church, then in 1977, so Pastor Charles wrote, God's word said, your strength will equal your days. The depth of God's grace grows over time. In June of this year, 1977, God has given us a new field in Richmond. At that time, I was told that you can buy a plot of land for a few thousand dollars in Richmond. But nobody wants to live in Richmond. It's a farmland. It has about 60 adults and 30 children on Sunday morning. Initially, there was a slight decline in attendance in our own church because we transferred 50 people there to help organize the church. So Pastor Chow did not wait very long. He never intended to build this into a mega church. It didn't take him very long that he started sending out 50 people. There must be a lot of people at that time in this church to build a church in Richmond. And then not too long later, we sent people to build the Burnaby Alliance Church. That's a church we actually purchased a building on the land, and then we called it in Pastor Charles' biography. We actually sent out $500,000. That's 45 years ago. 45 years ago, $500,000 is a lot of money. The church took out $500,000 to purchase land, purchase a building, and start the Burnaby Alliance Church, and then go on. And then when I start reading Pastor Charles' biography, I felt we are like Antioch. We are gathered here so that we can be sent. So Pastor Charles went on to, as you know, to build Fraserland Church. There's a $900,000 piece of land without the building. We leased the land for $1 million. The church paid for that. We did not take out a loan. The church paid for the whole million, 900,000 in lump sum, and they went independent some years ago. Pastor Chow, during the early year, some of you may know, he actually took the ferry to Victoria whenever he has time, Sunday afternoon. When he finished the sermon here, he'll rush to Victoria to help to start the Victoria Chinese Alliance Church. So that's why my topic is called Gather to Be Sent. And today I think we need to reflect on that from the Church of Antioch, but also from the heritage of our church. We're here not only to enjoy fellowship, we need to do that. We worship together. We need to do that. We gather here so that we get strength, support, power, empowered by the Spirit, also by the group spirit, this encourages others so that we can be sent out. So when the worship finished this morning, we don't wait until next week, and then we come back here and gather, and then we worship again. Yes, we do that. But we, the minute we leave this building, we are being sent out to the world. God may not call you to be a missionary overseas yet, but as you go back to your workplace, your school, your family, as a missionary, we are all missionaries. Paul, who was initially called Saul, but Paul did not change his name. We may think that he changed his name. He's always called Saul and always called Paul. Just Saul is his Hebrew name, and Paul is Greek. So in verse 13, you notice that he was never called Saul again. He's called Paul. It's like when you are from in Hong Kong, you are called in Chinese name is Yeo Hon. When you come to Canada, you're called John. It's the same name. So he never changed his name. So for Christina, it would be a Spanish name. I don't know. But Paul did never change his name. It's just that now his whole life, he will be a missionary. So you may as well call me Paul from now on rather than Saul, which is a Hebrew name. So today, we are all Christians. So I hope that will remind us we are Christians. We're bearing this name as a witness for Christ. So when people call me a pastor, I always say, wake up a bit. You're a pastor now. So you have to act like a pastor, and you have to give your life to your sheep. That's what the Bible says. You know, a good shepherd will give the life to his sheep. So when people call me a pastor, it reminds me I'm a pastor. So you have to act like a pastor. You have to live like a pastor. You have to serve like a pastor. So when people call you a Christian, you're a Christian now. The minute that you're born, you're called a Christian. So you have to live up to the name as a Christian, as an ambassador for Christ. So when Saul became a missionary to the Gentiles, no one ever called him Saul again. He did not change his name. It's just that now he identified himself as a missionary. Paul to the Gentiles. And everyone today here, we are God's ambassador for Christ. And then there is a big sermon in chapter 13. So Paul preached to to his own people, or to the listeners, I shouldn't say his own people. I'm sure there are Gentiles there. And they were listening to his sermon is really long. So we always say that we are not as good as a preacher or evangelist as Paul. And this is a long sermon in chapter 13, but really all he was trying to say is something very simple that all of us would know how to say, to share, that through him forgiveness of sins, verse 38, is proclaimed to you, and through him everyone who believes is free from all things from which you could not be free through the law of Moses. All he was, his entire sermon is really simple, that you are justified by believing in Christ and not by the laws of Moses anymore. That's it. And his sermon was really popular, as we can see. As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things may be spoken to them the next Sabbath. I don't know, people here will back Pastor Norman. Please come back quicker, sooner. I'm looking forward to your sermon next week. But all Paul did is just give them the truth and nothing but the truth. And sometimes we are very, very scared. Our gospel is too simple. People will not believe. It won't even convince them. We as Christians, we need to have a more complicated, sophisticated, we need to package this gospel more. So we need to add more things, our own things to help the gospel. But no, the next Sunday, next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of God. People today, they just want to hear the word of God. In contrary to what we believe in our heart, that our gospel is too simple. We need to make it more complicated. As you all know, I'm a great fan of Venus cartoon. So this is Schroeder. So he bought a, I guess today will be DVD, a CD, or not even that. So he bought a record from a store. So Lucy asked Schroeder, as you know, Lucy is a mean person, and Schroeder is a great musician. So Lucy asked, what is that, Schroeder? This is a new recording of Brahms' Fourth Symphony. There's a Bach, Beethoven, and then there's Brahms. And then Lucy asks, what are you going to do with it? I'm going to take it home and listen to it. That's it? You mean you are going to dance to it? No, I'm just going to listen to it. Oh, it's too simple. Must be something more complicated than that. Are you going to march around the room while you listen to it? No, I'm just going to sit and listen to it. This cannot be true. It's too simple, too easy. You mean you are going to whistle or sing while you listen to it? No, I am just going to listen to it. Kind of funny, isn't it? That's the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard. Now, sometimes we think the gospel is like that. You may be just share our gospel like that. God loves you. Yes. God's word is powerful, more powerful than you and I envisage. Sometimes we try to package it. Sometimes we even underestimate the power of our gospel. We only need to share God's word with people. And people need this truth, need the truth of the Bible. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with joy by bringing people to Christ. And sometimes I find Christians, some of the Christians are not very joyful. And I'm sure there are many reasons, but I'm not saying that this is the only reason. But if you have you ever experienced the joy of bringing people to Christ? I have experienced that many, many times. In my lifetime, I brought about maybe 500 people to Christ. And I can tell you that every time I brought someone to Christ, my joy is full. My heart is full of joy, and I always shed tears every time. As this famous Charles Stuck, he was a cricket, like our baseball player. I said, I cannot tell you. Later on, he became a missionary. I cannot tell you what joy it gave me to bring the first soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have tasted almost all the pressure that this world can give, because he was a famous cricket player. I do not suppose there is one that I have not experienced. But I can tell you that those pressures were as nothing, nothing compared to the joy that the saving of that one soul gave me. Amen. I don't know if you can say amen. If you have never experienced, if you never brought someone to Christ, you cannot say amen because you do not know. But I can tell you this amen many times. And it is our joy to bring people to Christ. It's not just work, burden. I have to share the gospel. What a burden as a Christian. It is a joy. But my title, to end my sermon, my title is gather to be sent. We need to gather together. We cannot rely on the pastor, Pastor Norman and Ensick, or the other pastor or the elders to do all the work for the whole church. We have to, all of us have to gather together to work as one team to be missionaries, to bring this gospel to the world. You cannot just keep sending one or two people out to oversee. There are a lot of opportunities here. Nowadays, we don't have to go overseas to be a missionary. In the General Assembly that was held last month, we emphasized that the General Assembly of Alliance, we emphasized that there are many, many local mission opportunities here. And the very first night of the assembly, which lasted four days, I was there all 4 days on Zoom. The very first night, they mentioned about international student ministry, that the Alliance, we have to, as one of our local mission goals, to reach out to the 500,000 of international students studying in Canada from countries all over the world, that all these, many of them would be leaders when they return back to their country. So there are many local mission opportunities, but we cannot just rely on Elder Rob to do the Lighthouse ministry. All of us gather together to win this battle, to win these souls to Christ. We have to work together as a team. I like watching track and field. I'm not sure you watched the 4x100 men's relay in Olympics. Who have watched it? Okay. Because when I was young, I used to run the 100 meter, in case I may not look like one. I like the 100 meter dash. I like the wind blowing on my face when I charge down the track. I would say 4x100 is my most favorite sport to watch on TV. And if you haven't watched it, just go back. And Canada was the underdog because none of the four team members in the 4x100, in case you don't know what 4x100 means, it's the four people each running 100 meters. Okay, so it's called 4x100. Okay, and it's the most exciting because it is a teamwork. And Canada, all four people in the team, none of them made it to the final in the 100 or 200. So obviously, we don't have a very fast individual. None of them made it to the final. That is not very good. And the favorite, of course, is the U.S. team, which is just filled with stars. So we are not we were very happy, lucky to be in the final, but no one would expect Canada to win. But of course, you know, we won the gold medal, and we beat the world. The last time we won the gold medal in the 4x100 was 28 years ago, and Donovan Bailey. I guess you don't care about him. Okay, so why? How did we win? We don't have any superstars, and none of the members actually even made it to the final. But we won. We won it because of the team effort. In 4x100, one of the most crucial is when you pass your baton, you have to be almost perfect if you want to win. And the favorite, U.S., they screwed up. They did not pass the baton within the 30 meters, so they were actually disqualified. You had to pass the baton within 30 meters. And the Canada, we actually picked the worst lane, lane 9, which is the outer lane, is the worst in any short distance running. The U.S. got lane number 5, which is the middle, which is the best lane. So we got the worst, well, not the worst team, but we did not have a superstar team. We got the worst lane, lane 9, but we won because of the team effort. We have a perfect team, that we have a smooth transition from one to the other. So we won. So for us to win the world, we need to all work together. We cannot just rely on me and say, or the elders, or the other leaders. All of us, all 600, 700 people of the VCC, we all have to work together. We may not be superstars, each one of us. I'm not certainly not a superstar pastor. And we don't have to be superstar, but when we work together, we can win gold like our Olympians, our Canadian 4x100 meter team. So when they interviewed the coach, and Donovan Bailey, in case you don't know, he was the fastest man on earth 28 years ago. He's a Canadian. So when they were interviewed, how come we won? Because the question is actually, how come we won? Do I have a slide of that? No, I don't. Actually, don't. Okay. So how come we won? Well, pressure was mentioned 4 times. But pressure. He mentioned the word 4 times. And the coach told them, the person that came from Donovan Bailey, the coach told them, are you going to go home empty-handed? But none of them win anything. They did not make it to the final. They were all running in the 100-200. Are you going to go home empty-handed? Or are you going to win a medal today? So, I think we lack that pressure. We need some pressure. We all know, see that the world is going to end, but let's feel that pressure to bring people to Christ. We need all of us to work together as a team to be a gold medal team. I think we can be a gold medal team. We are not we don't have any superstar here. We are not a mega church. But when we work together, we'll be so powerful. But we need some pressure. Alpha is coming up. If you do not know how to share the gospel, at least bring someone to Alpha. If you never brought someone to Alpha before, it is the time. Put some pressure on yourself. You want to win people for Christ. And we need all of us, when all of us serve together, we will be a gold medal team. Let's pray. Father, help all of us. When we gather here, we want to be sent out to the world each week to reach to the world, to reach people, bring people to you. Give us some pressure, some urgency. People need the Lord. And help us, empower all of us, put pressure on us to be a gold medal team, to win the souls for you. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.